finds himself at the very lowest place of his life where he's feeding pigs and wanting to eat what they have, but even then, he cannot even compete with the pigs.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Maybe you've listened to Straight Talk for some time now, and you've heard the teaching, and it's encouraged your heart, and it has spoken to your soul, but you have never made a clear, intentional decision to become a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between being a sympathizer and being someone that's a fully committed disciple. The difference is that a sympathizer likes the words, enjoys the teaching, sympathizes with Jesus, but hasn't crossed the line to say, I'm committed more than just a sympathizer. The Bible's really clear about it. It's an act of the will and an act of faith that releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus into our life. There's no magic prayer, although a prayer in faith can mark the beginning of our conversion. It's us being willing to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that we have sinned, that we have violated God's law, that we have made mistakes against God, and that we need those to be cleansed in our life. It's also a willingness to believe and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you sacrificed yourself for me, and I believe that you have the power to cleanse me. The Bible tells us that when in faith we repent, we acknowledge our sin, and we embrace that Jesus will be our Savior and Lord, bow our knee and yield our will, that at that moment in time, truth mixes with faith, releases the Holy Spirit into our life, and the Bible refers to it as being born again or being a new creation or a new creature. Once you've made that decision, then you need to make sure that you plug into a community of faith. You need to find a church and plug into that church. You need to get baptized as a sign of your following Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to grow in your walk with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. So if you've never made that decision, then I urge you, I encourage you, don't let this day go by without making sure that you make that decision before God. And if you do make that decision listening to this broadcast, why don't you email me and let me know, hey, Mark, I was listening to your broadcast. This is the decision that I've made. We'd love to encourage you and send you some material to get started in your walk in God.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue in our current series tonight called Second Chances. And tonight is the second half of Pastor Mark's message called The Way Back Home. Our text for today will be found in Luke chapter 15. Let's get right into the Word with Pastor Mark on tonight's Straight Talk.
Here's the thing about straying from the Father's house. Here's what I know. I want you to hear me well. Ultimately, you are most satisfied. Most satisfied. When you are walking in right relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen. Ultimately, you're most satisfied. And you show me anybody that's not walking in right relationship with their Heavenly Father, and I'll show you that deep inside somewhere, there's a gaping hole and deep need. Oh, no, Pastor, you know, I've seen people that seem real happy. You know what? You can look happy on the outside, but I can guarantee you, all humanity, every person in the human race was created to walk in relationship with God Almighty. And when we're not, I don't care if you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, if you are not in right relationship with the Father, you have a gaping hole inside of you, and you are not fulfilled and not happy in life. That's the way it works. You can walk down the streets of Chicago, and I can guarantee you that ultimately, when we're not walking in that kind of relationship, there's something backfiring, something missing in our life. And that leads to the third phase that I've described, and that's the phase where I call the wake-up phase. where we realize that this illusion starts dying. And here's what I know also. God will orchestrate the circumstances sometimes to speed up the process. There was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Now, isn't it just great timing that a famine hit the country? What about that timing? The guy just runs out of money, and just about the time he runs out of money, there's a famine in the land. A famine so severe that no one has jobs, that food is scarce, that beggars increase on the street, that hunger becomes prevalent, that the economy is belly up. And this guy runs out of money just about the time a famine hits the land. So now he's living in this dire, dire circumstances. And it says that he began to be in need. You see, sometimes we'll never turn to God until back to the Father. We'll never turn back to our eyes towards the Father until we start experiencing a deep, serious inner need that hits us full front. Because oftentimes, as long as our life is being satisfied and as long as we're doing good, then we don't really understand our spirit, the deep spiritual need that we have. I've told this story before, but a few years ago, I was at a Louis Palau campaign, and I was one of the counselors. And afterwards, Louis Palau, who's an evangelist, gave an altar call, and someone came down to the front, and I went to pray with this person, this young man that was came forward to the altar call. And he said to me, he said, "Sir, I've strayed away from God. I've been away from God for a long time. I want to come back to God, but my heart's kind of hard. Would you pray for me that I would come back to God? Because I'm kind of hard, and I'm not really sure if my heart's really ready to break, but inside I kind of want to come back to God, but part of me doesn't want to come back to God." So I said, "Sure, I'll pray for you." So I laid my hands on him, and I said, "Oh, Lord, I pray that you would make this man miserable. I pray that he would not succeed in anything that he does. I pray that he would be distraught, that he wouldn't prosper in his business, that he would be miserable inside, that his mind would be confused." And he said, he took my hands off. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you just prayed that you wanted to be broken and come back to God. And obviously you're not broken enough. And I believe that you have to be broken, and until you're fully broken, I'm just speeding up the process back to God." I think he went to find another counselor to pray for him. But the truth is this, that oftentimes what really brings us back to God is that God would put a hedge around us. The prayer that Hosea prayed for his wife in the book of Hosea, we oftentimes pray for this hedge of protection. Some people pray the hedge. Have you ever prayed, "Oh Lord, put a hedge around them"? And oftentimes we misunderstand it. The prayer, the hedge that Hosea prayed around his wife, was not a hedge so that harm would not befall her. It was not a hedge of protection around her. It was a hedge, if you read it closely, so that she would not enjoy life, so that she would not prosper, so that she would not find fulfillment in how she was living. It was a misery hedge. And Hosea understood, if I pray a misery hedge, finally one day she'll wake up and realize, I need God. And at that moment, she would turn her eyes back to the Father and experience God. Well, this is the wake-up phase. And he found himself in great need. And it says, and so he went out and he hired himself to a citizen of that country. Now, the word "hired himself" literally in the Greek means he attached himself. It doesn't mean that he became an employee of that man. If you've ever been in a poor, poor country where there's extreme poverty, sometimes you'll find that people will follow you around. I've been in countries that were extremely poor. When they see you're an American person there or hear you speak English, they just kind of attach themselves to you because they figure if I hang around long enough, I'm going to get some dollars or I can carry a suitcase or I'll get something out of this person. And that's kind of the thought that's here, is that this person attached himself to a wealthier person. And I think the guy, to get rid of him, said, okay, you can go to my fields and feed my pigs. And if you can find any food from the pigs that you want to eat, then you can eat some of the pig slop. And it says that he looked while he was feeding the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. These pods, by the way, that the pigs were eating, these were carob pods. And they're not meant for people to eat. People cannot digest them well. They're unedible for people. But yet he was so hungry that the very pig slop that the pigs were eating looked appetizing to him. And he finds himself at the very lowest place of his life where he's feeding pigs and wanting to eat what they have. But even then, he cannot even compete with the pigs. You see, it tells us in this passage, in this verse, after he's with the pigs eating, in verse 17, it says, and when he came to his senses. I love that phrase. When he came to his senses. You know, I've sat down and talked with people when they've strayed away from God and they're living their life and they're involved in stuff. And when I talk to them, I sat down and say, man, this is not even the same person that I knew a year ago. Because it seems like their eyes are blind, their heart is hard, and they're not in their right senses. And sometimes I just want to slap them and get them back in their senses. But I think, no, that's probably not the best thing to do as a pastor. But I've talked to people and I'm thinking, who are you? Man, a year ago I knew you. I knew your heart, but you've become hard and blind. And you're talking like someone that's totally lost their sense of direction and their morality and their compass and their clarity of thinking and mind. But what has happened to you? And here's what happens when we walk away from God and indulge in our own things and go contrary to God. Our senses and our thinking becomes clouded. I remember talking to a young gal that had walked with God and lived with God and really ministered in God. And I talked to her, ran into her. I hadn't seen her for a while. I said, how you doing? Well, I'm a little bit confused in life. And just my spirit's a little confused. I said, well, tell me what's going on. Well, she says, I'm dating this guy right now and we're involved together. I said, oh, tell me about the guy. Well, you wouldn't approve of him. I said, well, why wouldn't I approve of him? Well, he's a married man. And but, you know, his wife is a mess and he's going to leave her. And so you're sleeping with a married man. Did I have that straight now? Well, yeah, we have been sexually involved. Okay. And you're confused in your mind about.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to Pastor Mark's message called The Way Back Home, which is from his current series called Second Chances. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of the broadcast, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Luke chapter 15. Tonight's Straight Talk is called The Way Back Home.
I just don't know. God seems distant. And I know this has to be his will for me because we love each other. I'm just confused. And you see, what happens is that when we start doing our own thing, it clouds our thinking. And from the outside, people can see and say, what are you doing? But when we're right in the middle of it and we're doing our thing, our heart gets hard, our senses get clouded, our mind gets fuzzy, we don't see clearly anymore. And I've seen people start to live their life as they were in the midst of a fog. No longer do they see things clearly. Their mind is so fogged that they made wrong decisions at every turn. Why? Because they've allowed their heart to get hard and they no longer see things clearly in their life. You see, that's what walking away from God does to us. It brings about inner confusion and it brings about spiritual fog and mental lack of clarity. And finally, because of all of his needs, it says he comes to his senses. He has a moment where the light bulb turns on spiritually over his head. And he realizes, he looks at himself and he pulls away from his body and he sees himself there in rags and filthy and stinky, far away from people that know him, longing to eat the food of pigs. And he looks at himself and says, how in the world did I get here? I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments in life. We're just at the bottom of the barrel. Life is going fast, fast, fast. And then suddenly it all comes to a screeching halt. And you look at your life and say, how did I let this happen to me? How did I get here? Where did I go wrong? And in that moment of clarity, oftentimes it's the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, where was God when I was going wrong? I mean, why did it take God so long? Listen, God was always there. It's just that you weren't listening. And the Spirit of God is saying, excuse me. No, excuse me. And finally, it comes to a point where you finally listen. And the Spirit of God speaks to us. And at that moment in his heart, he came to his senses. Look what it says, verse 17. And he said to himself, how many of you know sometimes it's good to talk to yourself? Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You got to have these conversations and say, listen, self. Not bad. You need to have these inner conversations. You don't talk to yourself every so once in a while. You know, you can, you know, get off track. So he's talking to himself. And he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up after this self-conversation and he went back to his father. Now, how many of you have ever rehearsed a speech? One of the I'm sorry speeches. You ever done that? Okay, I'm going to say, Dad, I know I've blown it. And I have so blown it. I'm just a failure. I don't even want you to bring me into your household. Let me stay in your barn. Don't even hire me. I'll be a laborer. Don't even put your name on me, man. I'll do the grunt work. I won't even. But Dad, please, please, Father, give me a second chance. He's rehearsing this. Some of you have rehearsed a speech to tell your boss. I know I blew it. This one, it's never going to, you know, you rehearse it. Some of you do it with your wife. Honey, it won't happen again. I'm going to change. Rehearse this speech. And so he gets up from where he's at. Here's the thing, folks. Sometimes we think, how can I ever get back to God? Can I tell you? Don't worry about the journey. Worry about the first step. Say, well, Pastor, how am I ever going to get back to God? Can I tell you how? One step at a time. It starts when we come to our senses and we say, I'm tired of this. I know where I belong. I know where I need to be. And we turn our face that way. Listen. And we take one step. The journey has just begun. One step. Well, how am I going to forget these friends and leave this habit and do this? Don't worry about that right now. You start with one step. But what if I have to do this and do that? And how am I going to explain this? And I don't know if I'm going to have power to change. What if I fail? And what if I can't measure up? No, don't worry about that. It starts with one step that says, okay, I'm going in that direction. One step. We come to our senses. Now, I want you to understand this about this season, because this is really back, and this leads to the way back home phase, which is the final phase. And this is a difficult phase that's accompanied by regret, shame, and fear until we understand the Father's heart. Because you see, this was a Jewish culture that was an honor-based culture, where respect was the ultimate goal of every father figure. And Jewish tradition tells us that it was common if a boy had done something similar to this boy, that in the Jewish culture, if a boy had done this and comes back to his father, that it was the village's responsibility not to let the boy get to his father. And the boy oftentimes would have to wait several days in the village while the kids in the village and the people of the village ridiculed him, slapped him, hit him, threw things at him. And he lived in the village until he experienced the shame of it. And then finally, when the father was ready, the father would allow the son to grovel before him. And he would come groveling and ask for a second chance. And then the father typically would ask him to be beaten publicly by his servants in a public place. And after he was beaten and humiliated, then he would allow his son to come back and serve as a farmhand on his land until he made his way up into a better position. That was the culture of the day. That's how sons were treated who had disappointed their father. And so as he was walking back to the father, he totally expected humiliation and ridicule and rejection. And as he made his way back to the father, the Bible tells us that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And you see, this story is really all about the father heart of God. So many of us do not understand the father's heart. And the Bible says that while he was still afar off, what we don't understand is that the father was looking for him. And it says, while he was still afar off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to the son. You see, I believe this father, every day since the son left, I believe this father would get up and he'd look at the countryside road and look at the horizon and look for the figure of his son. And I believe day after day he was disappointed because he had not seen the figure of his son. And finally, this day, as he had done so many other days before, he looks into the horizon and he sees a solitary figure. And he can't distinguish whether that's his son or not. But you know, fathers know their kids. And they see their son or daughter from a distance and they can identify them. And within a little short amount of time, he says, that's my son's walk. That's my son's build. And so something leaps inside of the father. His heart is full of compassion for the son. And he doesn't wait there with his arms crossed saying, come and grovel at my feet. He does something totally unexpected before his servants and his other son. The Bible says that this Jewish man with long flowing robes pulls up his long flowing robes, and he starts running down the dirt street. And he runs towards his father. The son sees him. The son probably expects he's coming to say, get away from me. You're not my son. But as he runs towards him, he distinguishes in the face of his father eyes of compassion and tears rolling down his cheek. As the father gets close, he throws open his arms and he embraces his son. He kisses him on the neck. Braces him tightly. Welcome back, my son. Welcome back. The heart of the Father. You see, what Jesus was trying to convey the whole time is that God has a heart for those that are willing to turn around and repent and come to Him.
Well, this concludes our series called Second Chances with Pastor Mark as we finished up our message tonight called The Way Back Home. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. $5 plus shipping is all we ask for CDs. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available, and those are only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicago. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Please do have a great night, and we look forward to having you tomorrow night. God bless.